Good day, everyone. Welcome to a special audio feature on bullmarketrun.com. I'm John Hallstein. With me at the moment via Skype from his office in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, is Mr. Brett Matich, President and CEO of CapX Ventures, which trades under the symbol CEV on the TSX Venture Exchange, Charlie Edward Victor. As we speak on this 8th of December, CapX is trading around the $1 level, about triple where it was just a couple of months ago. What has lifted CapX is a significant iron ore discovery in the Labrador Trough near Schefferville, Quebec. Almost all the iron ore produced in Canada comes from this prolific area. At BMR, we focus mostly on gold and silver, of course, but we have spent a lot of time on the ground in Quebec. It is very fertile territory for discoveries of all types. And this particular story is significant and may provide opportunities as well for investors. As always, perform your own due diligence. And for the record, I am a shareholder in CEV. So keep that in mind. Brett, thank you for joining me here today on BMR. Before we talk about yourself a little bit and the rest of your management team, because management is key when you're looking at these CD&X companies, just paint the big picture right now as it stands as far as this iron ore discovery is concerned on Block 103 near Schefferville, Quebec.
Well, the big picture is potentially this could be the largest magnetite deposit in Canada. At the end of the day, it was never drilled prior to July this year when we started drilling here. And it's a matter of, realistically, you can only tell so much from surface. At the end of the day, you got to do a bit of ground truthing.
We'll get into some of the results you've got, which have been fabulous here so far, Brett, but let's talk a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your background. You've got a lot of experience in the iron ore industry. You come here from Australia, which is one of the world's largest iron ore producers. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, a little bit about myself. I headed a number of companies in Australia. One was an iron ore company called Aztec Resources. I was managing director. Identified an old iron ore deposit on an island, and over a period of 4 years, we built it from a market cap of around $3 million to $300 million, where we got taken over by a company called Mount Gibson, another Australian company, and that mining operation produces 3 million tons a year today. I've also was managing director of another company, ASX listed, called Fox Resources, which I identified a closed nickel mine and brought that into production within 18 months. So I have the experience in knowing what is required to build these type of deposits from exploration side identification all the way through to production.
And tell us about the rest of your team, Brett, at CapX Ventures.
Yeah, the rest of our team on the board, we have a geologist named Troy Gill. Funny enough, another Australian that now lives in Vancouver. And he has exceptional experience in relation to iron ore with work he did with Rio Tinto. So he's our technical director. We also have Graham Harris, who's extremely experienced in the financial markets. And Andy Bowing, who's he has his own drilling company and extremely experienced on the drilling side that has assisted us in the drilling at Schefferville. When you're drilling this magnetite, it is very hard. It's very difficult drilling.
What advantages would you say you bring to the table here for CapX, Brett, given your experiences in Australia? What special advantages, what special assets do you bring to the company?
Well, I bring to the company the experience of being able to develop and mine projects, but also with iron ore. Iron ore is very well known in Australia. It's probably, or it is the only commodity that I know of that Canada are lagging Australia. So I bring the experience of iron ore, but also bring a business model in relation to iron ore and how the growth is going to happen here in Canada. It's only over the last 18 to 24 months that Canadians are starting to hear about iron ore, and there's no doubt they're going to hear a lot more about it.
What sort of business model are you thinking here?
Well, the business model, what I think is, in Australia, iron ore is abundant on surface. It's very large. and you have an extremely high success rate from immature exploration through to drilling. And the iron ore in Canada just has not been exploited like it has in Australia. So I, there's no doubt this Labrador trough, it is a massive trough. You're going to see a lot more iron ore discoveries going into the future. And Canada itself is going to hear a lot more about iron ore. The attraction from the Asian markets is in for Australia and for Canada because they are politically stable. Anywhere else in the world, like there's a lot of iron ore, for example, in Africa, but it is a politically unstable. So the iron ore future for Canada is moving forward, I think, is abundant, and you've already seen that with the likes of Wisco, Tata, Mattel coming involved in this Labrador trough.
Iron ore prices have come down a little bit recently. What's your take on the market right now for iron ore? Apparently demand is supposed to be fairly robust over the next decade or so. Of course, iron ore is used in steel making, and a lot of demand from the emerging markets, China in particular. Tell us a little bit more about the iron ore market, Brett, and where you see it headed.
Yeah, the iron ore market is, the predicted demand is to double over the next 15 years. There's been there's been increases in supply, but we all know that with these iron ore mines going into production, that you're talking a massive amount of tons, huge plants, huge amounts of infrastructure. Any normal mining operations are always delays. Well, in iron ore mining, there is extreme delays. So I think the supply is going to take a lot longer to catch up than what people realise. But on the same hand, the iron ore price it reached prices of $210 a tonne this year, and really, that had really gone too far. They stabilised now around $140 a tonne. If you think about it, back in the year of 2000, it was $20 a tonne. So even looking at $100 a tonne, you're still looking five times the price.
Mm-hmm. So the market looks pretty solid in the years going forward. Getting back to your team here for a moment, Brett, you had a very significant announcement just recently in terms of a financing. You've got Forbes and Manhattan involved here financially and in other ways with your company. And I'll just read some information here directly from the Forbes and Manhattan website about who they are. And with a depth of financial, technical, legal, and investor relations expertise in-house, Forbes and Manhattan is able to advance its group of portfolio companies to unlock shareholder value. Now, not every company they're involved with is lighting things up right now, but hey, these are great people, I think, to have on your side. Stan Barty is a major player.
Yeah, absolutely. We were looking at a strategic investor that can also bring to the company the expertise that we're looking for. Now, this particular project, it's gone that large, we realise from our experience what we require. And the Forbes and Manhattan Group can fill that hole in relation to development people, technical people, expertise. Bringing in the institutions, for example, that were in Consolidated Thompson. So I think they bring a massive amount to the table. And people got to remember, I mean, they haven't come in to the company for free, so to speak. They brought 20% of the company at 85 cents, so they paid for their shares. And I believe these people, when they come in, they come in at a level where they believe there is a massive amount of leverage left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very encouraging to see them getting involved here. And really, when you make a discovery of this magnitude, it very quickly just changes all the dynamics of the company, right? I mean, you're now in a real growth phase here, and managing that growth and getting things going in the right way is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also been lucky enough where all our financing has been through institutions and we haven't had to go to a steelmaker. See, the problem is if you have a steelmaker with a 20% stake, it's effectively a blocking stake. So at the end of the day, we can progress free of any influence from a steelmaker, and at the same time have this technical backup and personnel and people that Forbes and Manhattan offer.
Okay, let's talk a bit more now about what's happening at Block 103. You have a very wide envelope of magnetite. What distinguishes this deposit from other magnetite deposits in the immediate area?
Yeah, well, in the immediate area, there's a couple of things that distinguish this. The actual deposit itself is on a hill that's some 100-odd metres high. You haven't got the problems of water in relation to mining. You've got a low stripping ratio. And basically, what we discovered was the high magnetic signature was correlating with the mineralisation. What we discovered was the low magnetic signature was also correlating with the magnetite mineralisation. So in other words, it was continuous. So you got a continuous area of greater than 16 square kilometres. Then we also discovered there was folding. So when you've got this 100 to 150 metre thickness of shallow dipping iron ore that is close to surface, folding effectively doubles the thickness. And we discovered that by drill hole 44, where we actually found there's a sequence on the Sokoman formation, and we found the second half of the drill hole with the sequence in reverse, upside down, so to speak, which actually confirmed the folding. The two other things that are extremely attractive to this deposit are, one, we seem to have a higher grade Davis tertiary recovery of some 2 or 3%. This is very important because this is actually the iron ore you do recover. And the second thing, which is extremely important, is we're getting this iron ore, liberation of the iron ore, a high-grade concentrate of some 68% from Davis tertiary recovery with a grinding of 75 micron. What that really means is you've got to grind the neighbouring deposits. The information shows they have to grind theirs to 45 microns. So in relation to this deposit, by not grinding it, there's a lot less power required, and on these magnetite operations, the biggest cost is power. So overall, a massive size deposit with some other advantages as well.
You're listening to a special BMR audio feature. I'm John Hallstein speaking with Brett Maddich, President and CEO of CapX Ventures, CEV, on the TSX Venture Exchange. CapX has made a significant iron ore discovery in the Labrador Trough. This has been part one of my discussion with Brett on this 8th of December. Check back with us tomorrow for part two. This is BullMarketRun.com, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.